Good morning. I want to begin by celebrating again the fact that we have witnessed in a variety of ways this week two people actually that have been added to the Lord's family. As was mentioned a moment ago, Amy Terry was baptized into Christ Wednesday night, but I want to also mention that Mike Brinkman had the privilege of baptizing his son Brett into Christ Friday afternoon, and so we want to celebrate that as well, and we're so thankful for what the Lord is doing in the lives of people that we love and we appreciate and we know that we're connected with here in the church family at Maryville. If you're visiting with us, and we do have visitors, we're thankful that you're here and that you've decided to join us this morning as we give our praise and worship to God. I need to mention to the church family here today, this morning, remind you that today is the first day of small group sign up, and so at the conclusion of the service this morning, there will be tables in the foyer and places for you to sign up to be a part of a small group. That small group is completely open. You can sign up for any group you want to be a part of, and that'll be today and the next two Sundays that you'll have an opportunity to sign up for those groups. And so we hope that you'll take advantage of that. If you've got any questions about our small group ministry, I'm glad to talk to you about it, and I'll be in the foyer fielding any of those questions that you might have at the end of our service today. We are going to continue and, God willing, complete a series this morning called Welcome to God's House. This is part number 4, the final lesson in this series this morning. And as has already been read, our lesson text comes from 1 Corinthians. And so I hope that you'll be opening your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And we'll also be looking at a section in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 this morning. Surgery. Chemotherapy, radiation, amputation. Many of you know these words better than you would like to know them. In this church, we have lots of individuals that have currently major medical problems. Some of you have been battling those problems for weeks, months, and even years. When it comes to our physical health, we will go to all types of extreme measures to preserve life. And the reason for that is we know the value of life. Life is worth protecting. And so we go to these extreme measures. We go to incredible lengths to protect our physical bodies. How much more important then is it that we protect not only our physical lives but protect our spiritual lives? Well, where does spiritual life come from? Spiritual life, much like our physical lives, are a gift from God. Spiritual life comes from the animating power of the Holy Spirit, according to Romans chapter 8 and verse number 11. Any spiritual life that we have has been breathed into us by God's Spirit. God's Spirit today doesn't dwell in cathedrals or temples or even holy shrines or sacred places. According to 1 Corinthians, we discover this morning that God's presence, the Holy Spirit, resides today in two specific places. God's Spirit dwells in the bodies, the physical bodies of baptized believers in Jesus Christ. But the Holy Spirit also dwells among us as the gathered people of God's household. God, you see, dwells in the body, and God's Spirit dwells in your body. And so we need to go to great measures, extreme measures, great lengths, to protect both of these bodies because you are God's temple. You are God's sacred dwelling place. And Paul presents both of these concepts in 1 Corinthians. The first is in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the second in 1 Corinthians 6. Let's start first in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and look especially at verses 16 and 17 that Bill read for us just a moment ago. Notice in the first place that God dwells in the body, the gathering of God's people. This is the great truth that is presented in verse 16, that God's Spirit dwells among us. Verse 16, do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? Now in verse 16 there, it's somewhat hidden in most English translations, but that personal pronoun there, you, is actually plural in the original text. And there's a hard way, it's difficult in English to translate it that way unless you're from the South, and literally what's being said here is, do you not know that y'all are God's temple? And that God's Spirit dwells in y'all? The collective gathering. In other words, what's being said in verse 16 is not being addressed to individual Christians, it is being addressed to the gathering of all Christians. That God's Spirit dwells in us. Now I want you to think of the power of that. Don't you remember how, if you've studied the Bible any much at all, or gone to Sunday school in years gone by, you probably remember how that in the Old Testament, God's people, as they traveled through the wilderness, as Jim spoke about this morning in our communion thoughts, as they traveled through the wilderness, on the way to that promised land, God instructed that they were to construct a tent called a tabernacle. And that tabernacle would travel with them through their journey. And inside of that tent was a sacred chest that God instructed for them to build. And it was the Ark of the Covenant. And what is so amazing is that God's presence in a very powerful, invisible way, just as God's presence had been seen on Mount Sinai when Moses received the Ten Commandments, God's presence was manifested with smoke and lightning and thunder and a loud noise as if the sound of a trumpet. And in the same way, when the tabernacle was constructed, God's presence, what the Hebrews called the Shekinah glory, the glory of God's presence, literally descended down and dwelled in that place. And later, it would come to dwell as well in the Holy of Holies, in the temple that Solomon would build in 2 Chronicles 7. But think about what's being said here. Today, God doesn't have a temple in the sense of a building or an architectural structure. You, God's people, are His temple. And He dwells in you. The presence of God, the glory, the Shekinah glory of God has descended down and resides among us. And so when we gather together in the name of Christ, God's presence descends and dwells among us. That's why Jesus could say in Matthew 18, 20, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in your presence. There I'm among you. That's why Peter could say in 1 Peter 3, 15, you are the household of God, the church of the living God. Listen to that. The church, the ecclesia, the gathering of the living God. The living God lives among the gathering of God's household. Hebrews 2 and verse 12. That's why Jesus can say that when the congregation of my brethren, come together, there I am among them and I too join in the chorus of praise. God is here, not in this building, but among us as His people. Now notice the danger, verse number 17. If anyone destroys the temple God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is holy, and you are that temple. Listen to the danger. Do not destroy the temple. What temple? The body. Don't destroy the gathering. And listen to how strong that God says it. God, through Paul, if anyone destroys this, God will destroy him. We must do nothing to break up the gathering of God's people. In fact, the person, this verse says, the person who is responsible for dividing God's people invites God's destruction upon himself. That is strong language. And language that should be taken very seriously. Well, the question is, what kind of things would destroy the body? In the context of 1 Corinthians, in the first three chapters, you discover back in chapter 1 that it was a division over preachers that had started this division, at least in some ways. Some say they are of Paul, others of Apollos, some of Cephas, some of Christ. And it wasn't just a division over personalities, it seemed to be a division over preaching style. Back in chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, Paul says, "When I came among you, I came not knowing anything except Christ and Him crucified." Now, you've got to understand some background here. The Corinthian people loved a good show. They're a lot like us. They especially liked people that had the ability to wow an audience through public speaking, what they called rhetoric. And so people would gather. That was their entertainment for the day. They didn't have television or football stadiums. What they had was they had stages, theater, and they had public forums where individuals, traveling spokesmen, would come to a city and would much like in Athens, come telling something new in a very powerful and flamboyant way. And the power of a good communicator, a motivational speaker, would bring the crowds in. And Paul says, "When I came among you, I didn't use lofty speech," chapter 2, verse 1, "or wisdom." Now, Paul had the ability to do that. You read in 1 Corinthians 13, and he uses some of the most lofty speech that mankind has ever seen in that beautiful poetic section about the beauty of God's love. Paul knew how to use lofty speech, but he says, "When I came preaching among you, I deliberately toned it down." Why? Because you have a tendency to trust in that stuff. And when I came among you, I wanted you to trust in nothing about the style of the presentation. I wanted you to trust in the substance of the message. I came to you not knowing anything except Christ and Him crucified. You see, some believers both then and now elevate style over substance. They weren't satisfied with the simple preaching of the message of the cross. They wanted something more showy and according to the wisdom of the world. And you see, these are the things that destroy the body. And in verse 17, he says, if anybody destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. So what's the solution then? What is the solution to this? How can we remember the great truth that God is dwelling among us and we must do nothing to compromise our unity and our togetherness and our gathering? The solution is that we must be united together as one. It is vitally important that we remember that we are God's temple and that each one of us are stones in that structure. We are built together as a dwelling place of God's Spirit. That's what Paul would say in Ephesians 2, verses 21 and 22. We must remember that we are united together upon the power of God, not upon the wisdom of men, 1 Corinthians 2, 15. And so since we are the body, the temple of God, we must stay united together. Why? Because we are the dwelling place of God's Spirit, and we do not want to defile or destroy the dwelling place of God. We must stay together. When we separate ourselves based on personality, based upon opinions, based upon all of these insubstantial things, based upon minutiae, When we find ways to segregate ourselves from one another, the stones begin to crumble and the temple is on the verge of collapse. But since God dwells in the body of God, of His gathered people, we must work extremely hard to stay together. And as Paul would say back in chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians in verse 10, work hard to be united together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Why? Because God dwells in the body. But notice secondly, God doesn't just dwell in us collectively. If you look at chapter 6, you see that God dwells in you individually as a baptized believer. God dwells not just in the body, God dwells in your body. Look at chapter 6 here, and let's back up and begin reading in verse number 15. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For as it is written, the two will become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. That's a powerful verse. Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body, now it's singular, not plural, you individually, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body. Notice the great truth of verse 19. Not only does the Spirit, God's Spirit, dwell in the temple of the body of the gathering of believers, but God's Spirit dwells in the temple of your body individually as a baptized believer. Now you see, why this is so important is because not only were the Corinthians, did they have a lot of confusion about a lot of things in regard to their unity as one gathering, but they had a lot of problems understanding the nature of the human body itself. You see, they thought, like a lot of people unfortunately live today, they thought in these terms: as long as my mind and my spirit and my heart is dedicated to God, it doesn't matter what I do with my body. So God knows my heart. So even though I might engage in sexual immorality and I might be guilty of fornication or adultery or homosexuality or might be doing something with my body that God does not approve of, it's okay really, because God knows my heart and God knows my heart's dedicated to Him. And so they were justifying their immoral behavior. And so some even were saying it would be okay to even go to a prostitute, and you would still be okay with God as long as your heart is loyal to Him. You see, they believed as long as your spirit is dedicated to God, you can do anything with your physical body that you want to. And Paul shows that is blatantly false. You cannot divide the body of a human being in such a dualistic way. We are holistic beings. What does it mean to be human? We are body and we are spirit, intricately interweaved together. That is the nature of who you are. And so what you do with your body affects your spirit, and what you do to your spirit affects your body oftentimes. Why? Because your physical body was designed in a spiritual sense to house the Holy Spirit of God Himself, verse 19. Believers that have been baptized into the name of Christ have been gifted with the Holy Spirit. Paul will talk about that later in chapter 12, incidentally, of 1 Corinthians. In chapter 12, he says in verse 12, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of the one Spirit." So, you see, the truth is this: God's Spirit dwells in you as a baptized believer. And so what you do with your body matters. Why? Because there's a danger. The danger of defiling the temple where God dwells. Defiling your physical body in verse 16, he talks about that. Why? Because if you engage in sexual immorality, you are becoming one with the person that you are engaging in that behavior with. And we are to glorify God in our physical bodies, verse 20. And Paul seems to be saying this, of all of the sins that you can commit with your body, none is so dangerous to the presence of God's Holy Spirit as sexual sin. Because sexual sin will choke out the spiritual life in you. Verse number 18 seems to be indicating that. Now, why would you say, is that the case? I'm convinced it's the case according to these verses because sexuality, that is a beautiful creation of God, to be enjoyed in that wonderful union of bringing two people together in marriage, in this very close and intimate bond, is a mystical thing. Sexuality is a mystical thing that God created that somehow combines the physical and the spiritual in this most beautiful union. You see, there's not just a physical union that takes place in sex. There is a spiritual union that occurs as well. The two become one. Verse 16. So sexual sin then is especially dangerous because it threatens the presence of the Holy Spirit that is dwelling in you. It grieves Him. It frustrates Him. When you do something unholy with your body, where the Holy Spirit is dwelling. It's like oil and water. And so sexual sin grieves the presence of the Holy Spirit in your heart like no other sin does. Paul talks about this in greater detail in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. David came to realize it. Do you remember when David was guilty? Now, David was a man after God's own heart, and there is restoration, there is healing even after this type of sin. But when David had committed sexual sin with Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah, and he comes to a place of repentance, in Psalm 51, he writes in that song of his penitent heart, he says, "Take not your Holy Spirit from me." Psalm 51 and verse 11. Now, why would David write that unless he realized that that was a distinct possibility? That if you continue in sexual sin long enough, it contaminates your spirit and actually frustrates the presence of the Holy Spirit and drives Him away. Joseph knew it. When Joseph was tempted by Potiphar's wife to engage in sexual sin, do you remember what Joseph recognized? Joseph, even in his youth, recognized this great truth in Genesis 39:9. How can I engage in this sin, he says to Potiphar's wife, and sin against God? Sin against God's presence in his life. So what's the solution then? If God's Spirit dwells inside of you and me individually, and we're not to defile the body with sexual sin, what is the solution? One of the catalysts that really drives sexual sin is not really sexual desire itself. Usually, it's because we know within ourselves that something is missing. We're looking for closeness. We're looking for intimacy. We're looking for relationship. We're looking for connection. And we're not finding it, and we want that. Well, the connection that your heart is yearning for, and you may not know it, but it is yearning for more than any other connection, is you need that void that is within you filled. And it is a void that can only be filled with the presence of God. And you see it in verse 17. But he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with Him. The solution to this problem is not only, as he says in verse number 18, fleeing from sexual immorality. That is part of it. But it is also about not only keeping your body pure, but realizing that the one who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with Him, and we must stay united to Him. We must encourage His presence, not frustrate His presence, but encourage His presence. I'm convinced that this verse 17 is perhaps one of the most powerful verses in all of Scripture that describes what we often accommodatively call a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It is an intimacy with God. This verse is saying that you can become one spirit, your spirit, become one with the Spirit of God. As we saw this morning in our Bible classes in 2 Peter chapter 1, you can become a partaker of the divine nature. That's amazing to me that God extends that to us. There is a deep spiritual union between the spirit of a baptized believer and the Spirit of God. And we must work hard to protect the sanctity of that union by keeping our bodies holy and pure and encouraging the presence of the Holy Spirit to dwell within our bodies. In 1943, during World War II, President Franklin Roosevelt established what is called the Monuments, Fine Arts, and Archives Program. The program was established to help protect cultural property in war-torn areas throughout the war. And so a group of 400 servicemen and civilians worked with military forces to protect and safeguard historical and cultural monuments from war damage and to find and return works of art and other cultural items stolen by the Nazis back to their rightful places. There was a movie, in fact, this year called Monuments Men that's loosely based upon this historical truth. Now, what's the point? The point's this. Why was that organization established? Because there are some things in life that are of great value that need to be protected. Of all of the museums, of all of the beautiful historical relics like the pyramids and the Sphinx, of all of the things in this world that need to be preserved, what if I told you that there was a place on this planet where the literal presence of the Creator dwells? Would you not say that would be worth protecting? Nothing is of greater value than spiritual life. And spiritual life exists today in the physical bodies of believers and in the body of the gathering of believers. That's where God's Spirit dwells. And both of these are of extreme value to God and should be of extreme value to us. They are treasures to God. Both of these were acquired at great cost. In 1 Corinthians 6, did you see verse number 20? Your physical bodies are not your own, for they have been purchased. They have been bought with a price. And the price was the blood of God's own Son. And not only was your physical body bought with a price, but according to Acts 20 and verse 28, the gathering of God's people was also purchased with Jesus' own blood. You see, Jesus died to purchase your body and to purchase the body, the gathering, so that His presence could dwell here among us, so that His presence could have a foothold in this dark and dying world. It is a place where God's presence, His Spirit, takes up residence. And I'm going to tell you something. In the world in which we live, where darkness, as Roy mentioned in the prayer, as darkness is trying to creep in and engulf us in every direction, we must protect the places where God's Spirit dwells, because Satan is engaged in a spiritual war to destroy both of these. Satan is trying to tempt you and me every day to defile our bodies sexually, to drive out God's presence out of our lives individually. And Satan is trying every day to get you and me to do things to be disgruntled at each other, to fight and bicker with each other. Why? Because Satan wants to drive God's presence and spirit from among us as his gathering. And we must go to great lengths to do everything we can to protect both of these precious bodies. Because these are the only temples where God's Spirit dwells today. And so this week, my challenge to myself, and the challenge I give you, is that whenever you are struggling with sexual sin, remember what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6. In that moment of weakness, in that moment of temptation, remember, God's Spirit dwells here, and I must not defile this body. And this week, my challenge to you is that I'm going to tell you, Satan is going to try to do everything he can to break us up, to get us to find things that we don't like about each other, personality quirks and opinions and ideas, and he tries to get a foothold to tear us down and to break us up and to destroy the unity of the gathering of God's people. And so I want you to go on the offensive this week. And I want you to find somebody in this church that for whatever reason you ordinarily don't really associate with. Somebody outside of the circle of your normal interactions. And I want you to go out of your way to be nice, to be kind, to get to know, to embrace, to appreciate, to love somebody else for whom Christ also died that may be much different than you are, but that is a part of this body just as much as you are. And I want you to find that person, and I want you to love that person and get to know that person, because God's Spirit dwells in their body just like He dwells in yours. And we must be united together and keep this body strong, because God's presence, His Spirit, dwells among you. And it is a treasure that is worth protecting at all costs. This morning, let me ask you, have you come in belief and in repentance, accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord? Because when you do that, and when you're united with Him in His death in baptism, Scripture is clear that in that, as we saw in 1 Corinthians 12:13, in baptism you are joined together as a part of this one body. And you, at that point, drink of the Holy Spirit of God. You receive God's presence to reside in you. And this morning, you may be sitting there thinking, you know, I come to church and I see the importance of being a believer in God and a believer in Christ, but I've never been baptized into Christ's death, and I've never received the gift of God's Holy Spirit dwelling in me. I want to tell you, now is the time. Don't put that off. Be joined together in God's worldwide gathering of the saved, by coming to Christ in belief, confession, repentance, and baptism, and receiving the Spirit of God, the gift of God's presence into your heart, into your life this morning. If you've got more questions about that, let's sit down and let's talk about it together. But the challenge for all of us this week is, let us see the value of protecting not only the sanctity of our physical bodies and not defile this physical body, but let us not destroy the body. But let us bring together the bonds that hold us together and make those bonds tighter and stronger than they've ever been before. And let's not let Satan get a foothold. Let's run him out of this place by our dedication to the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And let's stick together and be the temple of God's Holy Spirit. If we can help you in any way, come to Christ as we stand and as we sing.